This is Empowered Human Academy. Welcome home. We're here to create a life that feels like ours, one that calls us onward and upward because we are living as ourselves, fully and only. I'm Isaac.
And I'm Abe. These conversations are where we explore what it means to be alive and how to stay close to that aliveness with every breath. So, with hearts wide open, let's begin.
Hi friends, welcome back. As season one comes to a close, we want to say thank you for coming along the ride with us. It's been an incredible journey exploring life in conversation with such inspiring humans. To close out this season, we're shaking things up a bit. Writer and producer Rebecca Paul is interviewing Isaac, and in this conversation, they discuss the starting point of identity, collaboration, evaluating old narratives, feeling for aliveness, and Isaac's musing on what's going on here with this whole experiment of existence. Isaac's given a lot of careful attention to the evolution of his own identity, as well as Lightwords, and it's so cool to hear him talk about it so openly here. While we don't want to give away too much too soon of where all this is going next, this conversation is a fun and thoughtful framework for the art to come. There's so much light ahead, friends, and so with deep gratitude and joy for what this chapter has meant to us, we give you our very last episode of season one. Let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Rebecca, writer and producer on the podcast, and I am here with Isaac Bowen. Isaac, it's so good to be with you. How are you?
I am. I'm curious. Let me not be disingenuous. I'm doing super well. I've been, you know, above my neck in code today and music, and we got back from 2 weeks of all kinds of stuff and our anniversary photo and video and other things that we'll probably talk about later. I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good too. I'm feeling very grounded. Like, I have my tea, I have a candle. We're both into vibe. So it's kind of like a dreary day in Nashville, but I've been very much looking forward to this conversation. So I feel very present in here. So those would be the words that I would land on. So we're at over 50 episodes of Empowered Human Academy, which is super dope. Mm-hmm. It's been a year of conversations and kind of in this space of reflection and like celebration of the journey of like this past year and making this thing and bringing it into the world. Something that I've been thinking about and that I'm intrigued by is that like, as a creator, you're also like affected by the process of like creating the thing that you're making, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to hang out a little bit and talking about like the origins of the podcast and then kind of about process a little bit, but let's start with that. Tell me about...
Sure.
What you can remember about the origins of like Abe inviting you into the podcast and mm-hmm. kind of the start of this like new way of creating together. Like, what do you think? Yeah, let's just start there. Where does that take you in your brain?
Abe was the agent of Genesis here. He was the one who said, like, I want to create an empowerment course. I think at that point he was already coaching people one-on-one. And the guy has a mind for, you know, what is going to grow. And so he was thinking about, okay, how can I take what I know and get it out there to more than one person at a time? And also, like, on a self-preservation note, how do I do well with this without having to be the one putting in energy minute by minute by minute every time someone experiences it? So he started talking about a course. I think that might have been when you two started talking about it. The moment it became a podcast, I don't have a precise moment. It was kind of a shift in our internal model of the thing. We started recording conversations with guests and we started realizing that those conversations felt like they had more energy in them than the course that he was assembling. I have a lot of fun with structure and creating order and imagining what shape things could take. And so I was kind of helping him with the structure of the course, and that felt good, but we both felt like there was promise down the road of treating this like a conversation series where the focus was on active, present discovery with each person live on an ongoing basis and talking to people who carried with them the idea that they can make choices on purpose towards the better ends for themselves and for other people. And talking to people like that is just a good time anyway. So, yeah, I don't remember the specific moment where we said, let's make this a podcast instead. It was kind of a reorientation. And then we ended up publishing episodes that we'd already recorded for the course. I think the first couple episodes were not intended to be podcasts. They were just conversations that we had for the course that we reappropriated, which was fun. I like discovering that the things that we've already made have different purposes than what we intended, you know?
We love that. I'm curious, going off that point of where you're like, you were saying how each kind of conversation becomes this like point of exploration. I'm curious because at the start of every conversation, you start with a specific question about identity. And so I'm curious, why is it important to you to focus on identity as a starting place in a starting point?
Sure.
What felt alive to you about that? Yeah.
The words that people have for their own identity vary over time. And I think I start there because in one sense, I think life is an exercise in like isolating, boiling down, like getting to connect with one's actual self. When I begin with the question of identity, it's for two reasons. Like one, I want to understand who you are. And there's that. And I don't think that can happen in a couple of words ever, probably. I'm sure that happens. But a couple of words, probably not going to get to the heart of a thing that happens in conversation and relationship over the years. But if I ask you who you think you are, that tells me a bunch of stuff about where you are in your life journey, in your self-awareness, in your confidence journey, empowerment, all of that. So I kind of have a hard time answering like why do I sense aliveness in there? Because that, in a sense, that is aliveness to me. The words that one chooses to describe oneself, like that's the fastest way that I know to get to the now that someone is experiencing from their own perspective. Like we can't step inside each other's souls and feel what that feels like. We're all individuals to a greater or lesser extent. But if I ask you who you think you are and you're able to answer that without putting that in terms of relationship or expectation or anything else, then we have what feels like to me a head start into moving the state of your world, the state of who you are and where you've been and where you're going from your head into my head. And because in my own life, I'm like, that's one of the dominant themes, the relationship with self and the figuring out who I am in kind of a wordless intimacy kind of way. Like that's one of the things that I care so much about. And so if I'm talking to someone about their own version of that, it's sort of self-serving in that I get to learn more ways of approaching that problem, which brings us to like my self-interest in this project, right? Like it's kind of like collecting data for the journey of self-relationship. And even if that wasn't the case, like everyone is so interesting all the time. So I don't know, like for most people, begin with the question of who do you think you are? Who do you feel you are? Goes to really interesting places. So it's part of it is like my own self-education. And part of it is just like people say fascinating things when you ask that question and they really get the question.
Totally. Totally. Oh my God. That I just lit up whenever you said the self data or the data for self relationship. Yeah. I feel like that's such an interesting, cool way to frame, like, I don't know, even like, yeah, I'm just really resonating with that. That's yeah. Cool.
It's one of those things where, I don't know, I know how much I forget all the time. So I stand by my words. Like it is data collection. It is definitely that, but it's not data that I'm cataloging. And it's rare that I'll go back to someone like a specific occasion as a reference point or a specific conversation as a reference point, I should say. It's more like, I just want to soak in this space of what it means to alight on you know, one's real essence until I know what that feels like and it's muscle memory. Because I know I'm going to forget most of the conversations I ever have or most of the data points that I ever collect. But if I hang out in the space of self-resolution for long enough, it starts to like soak into my subconscious and my habits. And yeah, it's data collection, but it's like data collection so that I can soak in it and let it inform all the layers of who I am day to day, rather than like data collection for the sake of building a bunch of reference points. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, that kind of leads me to this idea of like, so even in these conversations, like, and I think a word that I feel like we all kind of landed on as, you know, making this thing and y'all recording the episodes and then me writing about them, you know, just finding this rhythm. I feel like a word that kind of came up for all of us, I don't know when it was, but we started to kind of like the gravity point started to be like aliveness, you know, about like exploring aliveness. So I'm curious of like, even in like this, in creating Empowered Human Academy, what would you say if you had to wrap words around, like kind of the intersection point of like you, like Isaac, on an individual level, what did like interacting with the world and maybe this kind of different new way, you know, like putting conversations out into the universe or, and collaborating with Abe, kind of take it whatever direction you want. But I wonder like, what was kind of the intersecting point of like making these in your own like growth of like, what has putting these conversations out into the world, like meant to you on an individual level? Like what has maybe been the self, maybe some self-discovery or dynamic discovery of you and Abe? Like, I'm just curious what have you discovered about yourself on an individual level?
I mean, the biggest new thing I think is a new relationship with collaboration, just like as an institution, the concept of collaborating with another person on getting something done and saying, I want to go here and I know that it will be better if I go with you, and to find out whether or not the other person wants to go with me. Right. I have an extensive background in doing things by myself and knocking them out of the park, frankly, in a lot of ways, because, oh, for lots of reasons, oldest child for one. And also just, I don't know, I had that's such an outsider mentality for so long. And so it was really important to me to become as effective as I could in doing things by myself. So when I say knock out of the park, that's not an ego, that might be 2% ego thing. Like I'm proud of what I've done for sure. And also I was very unpracticed at doing things with other people. Like even as Lightword became, you know, a thing that involved more people over time, the internal workings of it are still, and to this day, they're still very asynchronous. Like people who do well in their own individual headspaces, you know, ordering their days, interact with other people on their terms when they want to, not super frequently, asynchronously. Like we've got a lot of those people here, and that's, I think that probably started with me. But as Lightword has grown and as we have more kinds of dynamics within the company, more co-working relationships, which are tighter and more dynamic and more synchronous, right? Like more face-to-face conversations, unless a Slack message that someone might reply to six hours later, we're starting to have more relationships, which are more collaborative, I guess. Like dynamically and like live in the moment relational, as opposed to relationship with lots of space and padding around it. And that finds a manifestation in the podcast project because A, Abe and I have been co-hosts on it. B, we work closely with you on writing, and that's been a joy all the way through. And C, if we don't have people on the other end to talk to, there's no podcast, at least not in this form, right? And so coming to the point where I realized, oh, I actually really like this project. And oh, I like this project doesn't exist without collaboration, meant that I had to back up for a second and rethink my relationship to collaboration. Yeah. Which was annoying and pissed me off for a little bit, because like I'm unaccustomed to having to wait for someone else, wait on someone else for doing the thing that I want to do. I'm always willing to do the work, but sometimes you have a podcast and you need guests. And so I had to go through a phase where I felt all the scarcity from my earlier years of like, if I involve someone, it is definitely going to be terrible and maybe they won't want to come and play. And I had to go through the, like, where am I going to find these people? And I don't know, it was me recreating my, here's what it was. It was me revisiting an old and stale relationship with collaboration, and then having returned to that stale place going, oh, but actually the whole theme of this is empowerment and I can rebuild this relationship too. And as soon as I started to do that, as soon as I started to like say, okay, I pulled out my collaboration file from the filing cabinet of how it does relationships and what I've got in here feels like shit. I can do better than this, right? And as soon as I started over, as far as that goes, everything kind of opened up. I think the universe has a way of giving us the thing that we're looking for if we're not actively resisting it at every step. So as soon as I stopped resisting the idea of collaboration, as soon as I stopped having mixed energy around like, I want this, but I'm pretty sure it'll be terrible, or I want this, but I don't think I should want it, or I want this and I feel guilty for it, or any number of conflicting energies. As soon as I settled and went, cool, I've never done this before, that doesn't mean it can't be good, that was the moment when things started to turn around, and I'm still learning how to collaborate effectively and well. And by effectively, I mean in a way that I enjoy, in a way that the other person enjoys, and in a way where I'm not anticipating it becoming terrible tomorrow. I'm still learning that. But I've learned a lot, and this podcast was a really good teacher. I think that's the main thing, like the main new thing that I got from this podcast. There are others, but the main thing is absolutely a new relationship to collaboration, which has already seen fruit in a bunch of different ways in my relationship, in my primary relationship with Abe, in other projects that we're doing as Lightword, etc. Collaboration happens everywhere, so it's been very useful.
We keep in touch, you know, on a daily basis through Slack. But I remember getting a message from you where you're like, oh, I think that how I'm approaching this is changing. Like, I remember just getting that like update from you. And there really was like, after that was just kind of like, it felt like there was this avalanche of like, okay, cool. Like the momentum, you know? And oh my God, that like, I think it's so tender and beautiful that like, I mean, even in going on this adventure with y'all, like I didn't know the ins and outs of like, and can so relate to the idea of like, I had never made that connection in my head before of like sending an email into the universe and then it being like radio silence, like being like a flashback from the past in a way, but that's so fucking true. You know, it's like, we're really replaying in real time, you know, past narratives until we pull them out and like relook at them and be like, wait a second. Yes, this happened, or yes, this was a dynamic in the past, but what does it look like for me to interact with it now? So I think the fact that you kind of like almost brought the like, you know, like almost in a way I'm hearing like this inner child dynamic to your Isaac now self dropping in time and being like, actually, how do I want to do this? You know, that's really fucking powerful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I an important part of this, I think, is for me anyway, the idea that most of what I put out into the world, both in terms of asking and giving, I guess, happens without conscious thought. And so doing the occasional audit to say, okay, oh, I don't even know what a good metaphor for this is. Maybe it's physical posture. Like I don't think about my posture very often, but as I'm walking through the world, my posture is telling other people something. It's either telling them things about me, or it's reminding them things about themselves, or maybe they don't notice it consciously and the various unconscious parts of themselves are responding to that too, right? But the idea is that most of the ways that I am in the world are without thought, right? Like I don't think subconscious is the word that I'm looking for, but like there's so many, there are, I don't know, there's so many ways of being in the world, from fucking posture to clothing choice. That's a more conscious one, maybe, to the childhood expectations that I had around collaboration. Right. So occasionally doing an audit to say, okay, cool. My thought usually isn't responsible for all of these modes of my own expression, but I know that all of these other modes of my expression and presence are very important. So let me send my thought to those places and make sure that, you know, on reflection, I actually am showing up in all those ways in the way that I want to be. And that's another way of, I'm basically just restating my previous point, but I want to do it in a more generic way. Like the collaboration, the old collaboration story that I pulled off the shelf was one that I pulled off the shelf without thinking about it. And still today, like most of the ways that I collaborate are without thought. It's automatic, like muscle memory, emotional memory, emotional habit stuff. And most of that serves me really, really well. But every so often when something becomes painful enough and bubbles up to my consciousness, I got to send my thoughts to other ways that I am in the world and make sure that I'm shoring up those other ways where my posture has slipped, so to speak. Does that make sense?
1000%. So how does it, I'm so curious of what does it look like for you? Because I feel like we have all of our own, and I'm like borrowing an Isaac phrase. I feel like you say this, we all have our own versions of this. But what does it look like for you to, whenever you are in that place of maybe a shifting dynamic that you're going to maybe step into and experiment with shifting something, what does that mental space of getting it out all on the table and like assessing and deciding, like maybe I'm curious, like talk a little bit about that space after maybe the pain point has shown you something that's bubbled up into your consciousness and you're like, okay, this is here. Then what's kind of the next step after that? What kind of happens in that space?
Two things, and a version of this happened today. So this is very top of mind. I actually don't remember what it was about, but it happened and I remember the process more than the occasion. So that's interesting. Two things. The first thing is that process is always very physical and that's not actually the right word for it. I don't know what the right word for it is. But you know how like we're physical creatures. We walk around in this world. We all know like what the heft of a baseball is like if you grew up around baseball or whatever, right? Like we all have physical intuition. We know what force is required to slam a door or to do it gently. And if I throw, I'm lingering too long on this metaphor. If I throw a dog at you, you know probably what you have to do in order for you and the dog to be okay at the other end. That was a really weird example, but you get my point. We all have physical intuition because we move around in the world.
Catch and we've developed. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Or get out of the way, you know, one of the two. And so when I say this process is really physical to me, it's because the same class of intuition that lets me be effective in the physical world without having to like do mental calculus every time I move my body, that same intuition is what lets me weigh really all of the factors in play in any situation. This shows up in like everything that I do, visual design, code, music, whatever, like everything feels like a metaphor for physicality to me. Or maybe physicality is a metaphor for everything. I'm not sure, but everything has like weight and gravity and friction and places where things will interleave cleanly and places where things will repel each other or tear each other apart. Everything, every idea that I hold in my head has like kind of a physical character to it. So when I'm thinking about redesigning something, it's mostly a process of returning to that baseball object metaphor. It's mostly a process of like picking up the thing in my mind and feeling its weight and running my fingers over it, so to speak, and figuring out the texture and getting to, I'm actually tearing up a little bit. This is a very like this hits right in the center of how I am in the world. Everything has a character. Everything has attributes that we can, or that I can, Everything, I guess everything feels like physicality to me. So in my mind, when I'm thinking about even the collaboration piece, I'm picking up like the idea of my ancient resistance, right? And I'm picking up, I'm actually not picking up the idea that there's a new path. It's more like sensing, like fresh air coming from a certain direction. What happens if I take this ball of an idea and I roll it that way? Is it going to bump up against something else and set off a chain reaction or something? But everything feels really, really linked to my sense of the physical. And that's probably why, like, I move around the physical world pretty well. Everything in my problem solving and in my kind of just working to understand the world feels like it's using the same part of my mind, whatever, that is activated by real physical movement. So yeah, the first thing is to, like, when entering into a space where I'm redesigning something or solving something or just wanting to understand, it's all a process of like picking things up sort of in my mind, in my heart, in my, I don't know, and learning their character, their attributes, the ways that things bump up against each other and relate, all that jazz. The second thing is to apply breath. And that piece was important this morning because I know that especially in places where I feel out of place or I'm in a place in my mind where I haven't been before or something like that, I know that historically I've had a tendency to like hold my breath and wait in kind of a frozen static place until something else loosens up. So the second piece is to just be sending inhale and exhale through that entire process. Keep the wind moving through the system so that the air in this non-physical place that I'm feeling never goes stale. Like there's still life running through the whole process. And no matter how quickly I move or how much I don't move, the air is still moving. Aliveness is still present, no matter how much progress I am or am not making. And the literal and also metaphorical breath is a really effective way for me to get out of that, like, locked, closed chest, that static waiting posture, and get back to a place of, okay, cool. I know that I am able to do what's in front of me. And even if I don't see how that works right now, the most important thing is that I am still alive. And I don't mean that as morbid as it sounds. The most important thing is that, like, my aliveness is still present. And as long as I'm calibrated against that fact, everything is fine.
That's really beautiful. And I think really helpful too, just because I'm having this meta moment listening to you where, a thread that I've noticed, like even in my conversation with Abe and then this one with you, is that there's this, to me, it's very cool that you've each had your own path. Like, we're all creating this thing, but in our own way, it's like life is finding us in its own way to, like, for us to even step into a more powerful version of ourselves or expanding even more, even as we're, you know, creating a podcast about that very thing. It's like, to me, I'm like, life, that sneaky mom, you know, like finding these ways of like the, you know what I mean? Like the intersecting points of like, that feels so specific, but it's like, oh yeah, like we each have our own places where the fresh air is like pulling to us. You know what I mean? So it's cool. It's very cool to hear what that's like for you. And I'm just, I feel like that liminal space between like going into a default, or like you said, pulling a old narrative off the shelf and being like, oh, this is the way I do it. That liminal space in between the pulling off the default, pulling off the shelf, and then the fresh air is fucking, it's so gorgeous. So yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that.
Totally. That point of transition, like in that spark of awareness where you go, oh, like whatever part of it of ourselves is the part that goes, oh, I recognize this old thing as no longer helpful and I'm going to shift my attention. Like whatever that is, like that's the thing that I want to be like as close to as possible all the time. I don't know if that's exactly the same as aliveness in the way that we've been using that term. Which by the way, that term was yours. You were the one who landed upon that and it's so accurate. But the part of us that can recognize and feel for where the light is and reorient towards that, like that feels like kind of the only thing. And so I guess it must be aliveness. Because I don't know, that feels like the only thing that is, it feels like anything that is actually happening, anything that is like real with a capital R has that in it. And that's the thing that I'm always, I don't want to say looking for, because it's not like I've lost it or anything, but that's like, I'm working hard with myself and in the way that I perceive the rest of the world. I'm working hard to be like develop a very high sensitivity for that thing, like the aliveness where it actually exists out in the world. There are plenty of things that are on autopilot out in the world, plenty of places where things have grown static and stagnant. But also there's aliveness everywhere in everyone's life in some way. And so developing as much sensitivity as I can for that, so that I recognize it when it crosses my path, feels important. And that's probably linked to the collaboration thing, finding the aliveness in someone else and in the podcast. Certainly, the game of those conversations for me is to kind of like dodge past like a slalom skier, like dodge past all the places where the person that we're talking to in the podcast has like wrote or rehearsed answers for things. Not that anyone has ever tried to like pass off a question that way, but like I've given the same answer to people for so many, like I get the same question sometimes and I just rattle off the same answer because I know that answer by heart and I can repeat it. And that happens to the podcast. And so the game is to like gracefully get out of the way and then ask a question in such a way that gets the attention of their own aliveness so that we can have a conversation with that. That's like the whole game of those conversations for me. Like how in this discussion can my aliveness find yours or vice versa? And let's just get those, my aliveness and yours and Abe's, let's just get all of those together and see what happens. That's actually the whole game of Lightroom too. Like that's all I ever do, I think, at this point.
Yeah. That's cool. What do you feel? Going off the point of you're into, or even part of the game being like, building sensitivity to recognizing aliveness whenever it's coming, you know, whenever it's like coming across the path, you know, how would you describe, going back to your metaphor of like feeling for the texture of it? What does that, while everyone has their own unique flavor of aliveness, that kind of feels fun to explore. What does the texture of aliveness feel like to you, to Isaac, you know, like whenever you come across it, what does that texture feel like? So your brain recognizes it now. Does that question make sense?
It totally does. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's actually a space. I don't think aliveness itself has,
light has texture, right? That's a thing. Visual texture is a thing. The way that it moves is a thing. And so I think aliveness has color. Aliveness has color, and it has personality. I might just be describing what other people would call just human personality, but
I think that aliveness, okay, I'm going to go way off the deep end here. I think that aliveness might be responsible for, in the course of its experience, casting off things that feel more physical and like massy, like that, like they like physical, as artifacts of the process. So, okay, let me back up and try and describe this better. I spoke at some length about how everything feels like physicality to me, and it does. Aliveness itself, I think the product of aliveness over time in part is physicality. But when I'm thinking about like that inner space that I have where I'm perceiving all of these things and understanding their characters and their physicality again ad nauseum, aliveness represents itself as a space or a light source maybe or something like that. Like let me put it this way. I came across a little art book, which I sent you actually. There's a little book called Soft Spot. It came out of a type foundry of all places called Dynamo, abcdynamo.com. They make typefaces and also sometimes they make physical things, which they called hardware. And there's a book of thoughts sort of that they sell called Soft Spot. And it's lots of different thoughts mashed together in different ways. And halfway through the book, there's a little series that ends with the idea of almost nothingness is all we've ever wanted. And the almost nothingness here to me is the place where aliveness is. Like if everything else is quiet and there's so much of everything out there, so much noise and color and shape and so many things like fixed on the planet that could be distracting. And then if we separate all of that out of the way, there's aliveness. And to the physical world, I think aliveness is like an infinitesimal sliver next to the clutter of all the physical. And so for me, that page, all we've ever wanted is almost nothing, or almost nothing is all we've ever wanted. Like to me, that page is about, but actually on some level, all that I want is to be able to like say, all right, all of these physical toys have been fun, but I'm going to put those down and tidy my room for a second. And eventually every physical thing becomes stale. But the thing that doesn't is aliveness, which I think is where all the other stuff comes from along the way. Like aliveness doing its thing over time results in, I have a fascination with like small physical objects. And I love them for a time and then I give them away or something else like that. And my aliveness can be found like sort of in the breadcrumb trail of all the physical, like small physical things that I pick up and then set down. And if somebody was just following that trail, they could start to infer who I am, like who the character is that keeps picking up these things and then setting them down when they're done. You could start to get a feel for who I am, just as you can get a feel for an artist by seeing what they've made. But the aliveness is like the space of decision, the space of registration and recalibration. Like I said earlier, like the part of us that says, oh, wait, this actually feels stale. The light feels like it's this way. I'm going to pivot and go that way. Like that space, like that's still aliveness, but it doesn't have anything physical to it. Like physicality is something to be picked up and then played with and then set down. But in the space of like sensing for what's in the world around me and how am I going to rearrange things, like in that space, aliveness itself feels like space. I'm talking in circles a little bit here.
I'm tracking.
The idea, I don't know, the idea with all of this is to try and get really intimate with something that comes before language.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say, I wanted to just tell, I'm like, we have definitely, we've crossed the path into where we're talking about the metaphysical, to where like I'm like literally my question is about something that's hard to even wrap language around. But this is what happens, Isaac, whenever we talk. So we should have expected this, you know.
Oh, totally, totally. And this is where like this is where I hang out. Like, this is this is where I hang out. So I'm glad you're here too. Thank you.
Totally. Well, even as you're talking, it reminds me, it kind of, even just the idea of like the energy that you're describing is kind of the different, I got this mental picture of like a, just for an example of this idea, I think came to mind. I'm thinking of like a 70-year-old singer-songwriter living in Laurel Canyon, you know, that like had records that came out that were so cool and like had a moment and so many people resonated with, but they're like living in Laurel Canyon and they're grumpy and they're like just talking about how no one understands them anymore. Like all, you know, like they're like bitching about the music industry now and just like have kind of crinkled up, you know? It's like the difference between like that, where it's like wanting to attach so hard to a physical, to a physicality or like an artifact that they left along the trail way back when. And then the difference between like the person that came to mind was like Joni Mitchell, for example, like a singer-songwriter in the 1970s that went through so many iterations of herself, like came out with certain records that were like cool and weird. And like, she had a whole like jazz moment that a lot of people were like, what are you doing? Where she was just like, I'm just being an artist. Like, I'm just doing the thing that I feel like I want to make now. You know, to me, it's like the difference between that energy, right? The difference between whenever you're describing the physical, it's like, yes, aliveness will leave a physical trail of artifacts along the way, you know, that we can point to that are like, oh yeah, this was part of that. That's something that I made. That's something that was like an aliveness made manifest. And it's cool to have this like portfolio of those moments to point back to. But maybe it's like the trick, or to use your word, that's fun, is like the game is to not get stuck in thinking that the aliveness is there. It's to stay in tune with like what wants to keep happening, you know? It's like, that's the whole thing of it. And you can feel that. You can feel it whenever someone is still wanting to stay in that flow. And then it's a different energy whenever someone's wanting to clench up and be like, oh, the best thing has already happened. And I'm missing it now, you know? So anyways.
Yes. That was super well said. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes to all of that.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about what you're excited about right now, like what you're playing with, what's coming up in you, like what, talk to me a little bit about maybe, I mean, I'm also working with the information knowing that y'all just came off of like a really dope, like anniversary shoot and, you know, all of that, but I'm curious. Yeah. What are you feeling excited about right now? What's coming up in your aliveness right now, I guess. Let's just hang out there for a little bit. Take it wherever you want.
I feel a little bit like the only thing I'm ever interested in when it comes to wandering through the world is two things. I'm either interested in appreciation and enjoyment, and just like marveling at whatever I'm perceiving at the moment, because everything is astonishing all the time. It's either that or kind of circling around the problem of understanding. Everything that I've gone on about earlier in this conversation, those are all thoughts that come from like me just trying to figure out what's going on here. Like in the experience of being human, or in my experience of being human anyway, because I only get to speak for my own. So that's basically like the two functions of my aliveness, I think, is to like look closely or back up and go, oh, what's in front of me is actually remarkable. Or to, again, kind of circle around some core, some kernel of understanding, some kind of truth. And so because I think those are my top priorities, and to Abe's like eternal good-hearted consternation, like I never have specific answers to like what specifically am I like excited about right now, or what's coming, or anything like that, because like everything at every moment is either in service of
me kind of like pacing in circles around like the truth of reality. I think that's what I'm trying to get to, or maybe I'm trying to get to myself. I don't know. Everything is either in service of that, or I'm just having a good time. So yeah, specifics for this kind of question. I don't know. Like I could go on and talk about a ton of things that I'm enjoying. Like the anniversary shoot that Abe and I did, with Orion Paul and with Megan and Nate Cantor, was a ton of fun. And I appreciated that for that being an expression of all of us at our most current forms. Usually those shoots are highly documentary. It's a couple of cameras following us around while I read Abe a letter or he reads me a letter, and then everybody cries and we take pictures of it, right? All of which is beautiful and wonderful. And this time, the thing that was truest to all of our alivenesses, it turns out, was to make something more composed, produced, to set a stage, and then be players on it, as opposed to the more documentary thing where we're kind of capturing life as it might be on any other day. Any other very good day, but any other day, right? And so something that I appreciated about that was that both Abe and I wanted to like try a more directorial angle on this thing, but also Orion was in the exact same life place. He's been feeling, if I understand him right, the desire to go in that direction and to not just reflect what's there, but to say, oh, I have a vision, let me speak it directly and seek collaborators and make a thing. I won't speak to where Megan and Nate are in that process because they're just a incredible force regardless of what they do. But that was delightful. And I'm connecting that to the other half of how I am in the world, which is like trying to reconcile everything so as to just have a clear connection to what's actually happening and a clear understanding of what's actually happening. Doing art from that space of our most current selves, is a really good way to collect data for that kind of understanding. Like if we're just hanging out in our most present, most current aliveness, even if we don't understand anything about that, what happens next is going to be some form of genuine, whether it's joyful or painful as fuck or anything else, but it's going to be true. And actively choosing that space and choosing collaborators who can meet me, you, us in that space of, okay, we're going to bring our actual aliveness to the table and see what happens. Having collaborators in that space gives us, I mean, I don't know what utility that has for other people, but for me, part of it is, again, that duality of like, oh, what happens next is delightful, even if it hurts or even if it doesn't. But also because we're only adding true, real pieces at the beginning, we only get things that are true and real out the other side. And that gives me more data to work with because the true and real is all I want to be paying attention to. That's the thing that I'm like trying to cultivate sensitivity towards. And so I'm excited. Maybe this is my answer. I'm excited because I'm learning more and more that I have control over like whether that tap is turned on or not. Like I'm learning that Abe and I can choose on purpose to create spaces where our aliveness is in play and we're inviting other people into that also. Like we've both known that forever. We've been doing that versions of that for a long time. But the turnaround between, oh, we recognize that this piece has gone stale. Let's breathe and renew our expression in this place. Like the turnaround between registering that something's gone stale and doing something about it and washing that space with new energy. Like we're getting faster at that, and we're getting to a place where we can recognize the appropriateness of that action sooner. Abe talks about how, like in the early chapters of our relationship, when I had a more difficult relationship with depression, like his metaphor was like, "Hey Isaac, sometimes you sink like 100 feet down to the earth, and I got to pull you back up. But if you just tell me that you're 10 feet down or 2 feet down or 20, like anything less than, like you don't have to hit rock bottom before we start changing some things." And so learning that we can be much more proactive than we've ever been about saying, okay, this space feels like it is ready for renewal and remaking, or this space is, or I am, or anything else like that. Learning that we can be more proactive about those movements, and then we can make those movements actively, I'm excited about that, because that means that we have more of what we're looking for at all times, right? Like if what I'm looking for is the interplay of true and real and what is yielded from that interplay, if that's what I'm looking for, and I have control over when I say, this part is stale, let's renew it, then I have as much access as I can handle to true and real things moving in front of me. And that's exciting to me, because that's basically where I want to spend all my time. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It 1000%. And like, what a powerful, you know, and cool fucking gift that, that you and Abe, like your partner, like that being partnered, that y'all are both in, have that inquiry about life, or want to bring in a word that we used earlier, collaborate with life in that way. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I feel so lucky. He's so sensitive. And I mean that in the way that I've been using this in that word in this conversation, like he's so sensitive to where aliveness is and isn't. I think his language for it is different. I think his mental model for it is different, which is good. But he's so sensitive to it. And I feel lucky as hell to be to be doing life so intimately with somebody who wants like real life as badly as I do. To be equals on that front. I'm so grateful. Yeah.
I have to ask this question because you brought up this phrase and it's been circulating my brain ever since. So I need to ask, before we kind of start to near towards closing. You mentioned the phrase of, or whenever you're describing aliveness, that you are just curious, innately curious about what's going on here. What do you, in this iteration of Isaac, in this moment of Isaac, what do you think is going on here? what's going on? Just to land, you know, like in like 3 minutes or less, describe totally. Reality.
Totally.
But
totally.
Whatever, maybe just like, I don't know. I just feel like I always want to ask you that. So now's the time. Sure. So
yeah.
Play with it however you will.
I think what's going on here is, I think what's going on here is exactly how I self-described in that kind of two-pronged way, like an exploration. And I'm using that word for the first time in this conversation. Earlier I was talking about like circling around a situation and trying to understand and perceive and understand. I'm going to replace that language with the term exploration. It basically means the same thing. I think what's going on here is simultaneously exploration and appreciation. I think we are all on like the ride of our lives. And I think the purpose of that is to explore and map out existence, the universe, in a sense. That's probably not the right word. But I think we're exploring all the things that can be. I think that we are consciousness saying, but what if I do it this way? Like, what would happen then? And then giggling with delight at the results. And then encountering like infinite pain along the way, because we didn't know we could feel that, but we wanted to open that door because it had never been opened before. Right. I think that's basically it. To bring it closer to home, I think that we are all like I think each of us as people are, like opinions we're trying on, or characters, or like, what if I look at the world this way? Like, what if I lived an entire human life, with this particular opinion on things? Or what if I lived an entire human life, you know, missing 3 out of 4 limbs? Or what if I lived this entire life, like, with synesthesia, or like, what if, right? And I think that we collectively are part of the consciousness of the whole, just saying, what if, like, maybe in that sense, if we ladder all the way up to the top, this is a dream of some kind, right? Like, we're all part of this, you know, infinitely faceted, glittering dream structure. And we're just seeing what happens if we do this. I think that's my current best, like, working model of what's up. Like, we are collectively exploring everything that we can, and creating along the way, because that's part of exploration. Like, it's a process of saying, okay, I know what it is to be here. I know all of these physical artifacts that have been created along the trail of my aliveness. I know what it is to be here. Okay, cool. I know this now. What happens next? What happens if I flip this around, or set this on fire, or what the hell ever? And then the second part of that is to just marvel at the interplay of all things, how deeply linked everything is, and how, like, that butterfly effect trope, right? Like how each movement cascades into the unimaginable. And I think that's basically, at least as far as I can tell, that's what's happening. We're exploring, we're explorers, and we are here to discover and to enjoy and to appreciate and to feel all of it, the pleasant things and the unpleasant things, because it's all art. Like, art hurts sometimes. And art is transformative. I think art is probably a good way to describe the whole experience. We're exploring, we're expressing, we're learning to, we're learning the contrast between the cast off dead artifact of what was. We're learning the difference between that and the aliveness that's actually moving and actually present. And we're learning how to make things with both. And then we're learning that we prefer one over the other at different times. And then we're unlearning all of that. And then we're discovering new shit and feeling new shit. And it's everything all the time. And I think, yeah, boiling it down, I think what's actually going on here is that we are exploring, and we are here to encounter and register the abject beauty of everything we find. Now, I have to kind of round out that thought by saying that that's what I can sense. That's what feels true to my aliveness, which is my own, and I think is connected to everyone else's, but everyone else has their own take on that. And so, if I'm being honest, like, that answer might only apply to me. And it might be something totally different for someone else. Or maybe I'm wrong about all of that. And the thing that I feel like is real understanding is just something that serves me well. And the best that I can do is wish you well on your own journey of figuring out what the hell is going on here, right? Because, I don't know, it's take what's useful and abandon the rest. There's a more elegant version of that quote that says something like, examine everything you have been taught in school and church or anywhere else, and dismiss that which offends your very being. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I think, but that's the gist of it.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Appreciate that. The gist of that, I think, is just to, for me anyway, is to just be as close as I can to that space of aliveness that I contain, that I am, that I, those words, and to listen for what knowledge is coming from that space. And
explore and enjoy. That's what I got.
Well, it feels very fitting that we close out Empowered Human Academy season one with an exploration of what we're doing here. So thanks for going down that path. And it's really beautiful. I feel like it's beautiful how you've even you're the meta view of what's going on here. You know, it's like, it's beautiful to see the ways that you're trying that on in your life with the what you're doing here, you know, in the, like how it impacts your daily life. So it's, as your friend, witnessing that up close is very fucking beautiful to watch. And I have loved helping send out this artifact of our aliveness into the world. And it's very special. So to close, Isaac, you know that these questions were going to come back for you one day. they're going to find you. So Isaac, what does an empowered you look like and feel like?
Free. Looks and feels free. Loose shoulders, curious eyes, just delight emanating from every pore. Freely exploring, freely resting, freely enjoying. In a relationship of perfect trust with everything.
And what do you know for sure?
That I'm having a wonderful time.
Isaac, love you so much. Thank you for sharing this time and sharing of yourself. And I, for one, am super fucking pumped that we did this, and it's been a joy. This being this conversation, but also the last 54 episodes, I think it's 54 when we're late.
So cool.
53, I think. Yeah, 53. So let's keep going, you know, may it all continue. So
I think one of the lines we've used in many, interludes during the podcast or maybe outros is like, we're going to keep exploring. And if you want to come along, but like, we're going to keep going. And yeah, let's keep going. I'm ready.
Let's do it. Bye, Isaac.
Cheers.
Bye.
Y'all, thank you for going on this adventure with us. These conversations have been a huge part of exploring our own aliveness, and we hope you found some fuel for your own expansion along the way.
And while this chapter is coming to a close, the reality is that we're just getting started. We're in the midst of cooking up what's next and can't wait to share it with you. If you want to be the first to know once it's ready, head over to lightword.com/now to join our email list.
We're going to keep on exploring, and we invite you to join us along the way. In the meantime, get out there and do something that feels exactly like you, and we will do the same.
Friend, stay close to your breath, to your heart, and we'll be back soon. Have an awesome, awesome day.